Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking. It is what it is.
Peace, peace. What up, family? We back in the building. This is Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
And this is Rigel. And Mufasa.
And Mufasa Rai, right. We're waiting on Mufasa Rai. But we are Collective Minds Radio, y'all. We are in the building. We are back again another week, hopefully to share constructive dialogue with the family, you know, discuss things that's been going on, give everybody a chance to share their collective thoughts. We appreciate, you know, the family for tuning in each week. You know, we do be having some good discussions, good dialogue, so we do appreciate you. But before we get started, you know, we always kick it off with announcements. And I do have an announcement here that I want to make. It's our very own Queen Rigel. It is her birthday, so we want to say happy birthday, sis. We appreciate you. You know what I'm saying? It's Gemini season, so it's your time. It's your day. It's your week. It's your month. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, we want to give you your flowers while you can still smell them. So just, you know, from your little bro to my big sis, I just want to say we appreciate you. I love you, you know what I'm saying? I have a lot of respect for you, as you know, and I've learned a lot from you, you know. So I just want to give you your flowers and just tell you how much, you know, you mean to me, how much you mean to the family, you know, to your nieces, nephews, everybody in the family, to mom, your other younger brother. We appreciate you, and on your day, you know, we want to salute you. So
thank
that's
you.
What's up. We just want to say wish you a very happy birthday, a prosperous year, and years to come. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to put that
so
out
much.
There.
Thank you
so much. Yeah. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So you definitely deserve
hey,
that.
Y'all like hearing me?
Yeah.
Okay, got you. We got you. What's up, brother? We got you. You in. So I just did my announcement, you know, wishing Queen Rigel a happy birthday. I'm gonna kick it to you. If you have any, I'm going to go to Queen Rigel. If you have any announcements, you can go ahead and tell us how was your week leading up to your birthday.
My week was busy and productive. Like every week, I try to be productive. I always try to have something to do because it is always something to do. But, it was nice. It was smooth, you know. I learned how to balance the being productive, you know, so it went smooth. Today is great, you know. June 6th is always a great day for me. I'm always thankful. But, you know, the weather kind of threw me off. We don't usually have any shower. It was a little sprinkle today. It was a glitch in the matrix. I don't know what that was about. But overall, it was still a nice day, nice weather. But it was nice. I appreciate today. But no other announcements.
All right. Yes, indeed. That's what's up. That's what's up. Yeah, no. Yes, indeed. Brother Mufasa Rai, he just joining us. Peace, my brother. Do you have any announcements? And how was your week, my brother?
All is well. I actually was on early. I guess we had some technical difficulties. So let me give my greetings to the family and say Hotep, Barigani, and Assalamu Alaikum. This is your brother, Mufasa Ra, a.k.a. Brother Montoy, in the house. How y'all doing, family?
Yes, indeed.
All right.
Yes, indeed. All is well. Yeah.
And I have to double down with Brother Kev and say happy birthday to Queen Raja. Hopefully she enjoyed. You know, wish her many more to come. And outside of that, y'all, I'm Black Tactic. Good to talk to y'all. Ready to chop it up with y'all once again.
Right.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. We appreciate it. So I do want to say this real quick, just before we get into the meat of the show or get into the topic. You know, it's just good to hear y'all's voice. I just want to say, you know, to my co-host, to the fam that listen and all that, like, it's just good to hear your voice because you never know, because life is so precious, you never know when somebody can be taken away from you. You know what I'm saying? And the reason why I say that is because there was a young gentleman that I know who used to, do mechanical work. He used to work for, he was actually an older gentleman, but I'm just saying. He used to do, you know, auto work, and he worked on a couple of my cars before. And it was a situation where he had messed some things up, and I had just stopped working with the brother just, you know, based on that. But come to find out, I just found out last night, actually, that this brother had passed away. You know what I'm saying? And I hadn't talked to him in a few weeks or whatnot. Well, actually, it's been longer than that. I haven't talked to him in maybe a few months, you know. But just to hear that he had passed away, like a month or so ago, that just kind of messed my head up. I was like, wow. You know, you just never know, you know, when is your time. And by life being so precious,
yeah.
You know, it's just good to hear y'all voice. It's good to, you know, wake up, see the sun. If it rains, see the rain. Just wake up and experience life is a precious thing. So that was just kind of on my heart because that just kind of threw me off. You know, we wasn't super close. We had a, you know, working relationship as far as, you know, he worked on a few of my cars and whatnot. But just to hear that kind of, it was just surprising. So I just wanted to put that out there, you know.
Man.
You never know.
In the earth, man.
You know what I'm saying?
It's good to hear your voice as well. It must be something in the earth because earlier today I was talking to some of my FOI brothers and we was kind of hitting around the same thing. I know when I was there and two of them came while I was at the mosque at the same time, and the one brother was telling the other, he said, "Man, you don't remember? You might not remember this, but you was the first brother that took me out on the corner to Soldier the Final Call newspaper." And that was, he said, that was 28 years ago, brother. And he was like, 28 years ago? He's like, man,
wow.
He said, I forgot I ain't even been in the nation 28 years. And so I was
right.
Like, yeah, I said, you know, it's wild how we get caught up in our daily routine and daily activity, daily grind. And sometimes we forget to even call and check on our brothers and sisters and friends, and you know, just to say,
right.
Hey, how you
that's
doing?
Right.
You know, chimed and flew back.
Yep. That's,
you know,
right.
And,
yep.
And another brother who I was talking to, an elder brother, was saying how he was just talking to me about how he was planning out the remaining of his, you know, duration here. Like you said, we don't know how long we're going to be here, but he's
right.
His mid-60s.
That's
and
right. Yeah.
We was just discussing, you know, preparation. He was like, you know, when it's all over said and done, though, it don't bother him. And I was saying the same thing for me. It really don't bother us
right.
Because we have been trying to live our life to please God.
Right.
You know, so if
right.
you can find, that's why I always challenge people, especially young people, to find a purpose and do your best to live in that purpose. Because, you know, to come here, to be on this planet and leave
right.
without, just, you know, without trying to make it better, you just here just doing something, to me it ain't, that's not a good thing. You want to come here and try to leave a mark on it. Leave it,
right.
Your immediate
leave
circle.
It better than you left.
Better.
Right. Yes, sir.
You know, you might not
yeah.
do something that reached the whole world. But you can touch
right.
one or two people in your circle.
Yeah. That's
you know,
right.
That's all you can ask. It's reach one or two people. You can reach the people that's in your circle, that's around you. But just going outside and giving somebody a nice, kind word, how you doing? Tell your neighbor, hey, how you doing? You know, I ain't trying to be all in the business, but I'm just speaking. How you doing? So, yeah, brother, you right in exact, man. Life is precious, and we need to understand just how precious it is. We could be talking on this phone
right
now, and one of us just drop up out of here.
Yeah. That's fact. And no matter if you 60 or you 6, you know, we all getting old and whatnot, so it's just important to, you know, cherish the moments that you have fun, live in the moment, you know, try not to get too stressed out. You know, have faith and believe that, you know, everything gonna work out in the end, which it normally does. You know, so that's just for anybody listening. You know, our brother Mufasa broke it down. So, I just wanted to put that out there. So, yes, indeed. We here, family. This is Collective Minds Radio. We ain't all got to think alike, but we all have to think. I don't know about y'all, but the big thing that's kind of happening tonight is, you know, our brother Floyd Mayweather is in an exhibition fight. I know this is exhibition, this is boxing, but, you know, I'm a boxing fan. I know Mufasa and Queen Raja are, you know, boxing fans to a degree as well. And Floyd Mayweather tonight is fighting Logan Paul. And he say the reason why he chose Sunday is because, you know, the Super Bowl on Sunday, the All-Star Game on Sunday. It's just a lot of award shows and major events that happen on Sunday. And he's thinking, as a businessman, you know, a lot of people go be at home and they can stream the fight. This is one of those things where, you know, the racial element comes in because he's fighting this white dude named Logan Paul, who's a YouTube sensation and whatnot, actor, you know, and does other things like that, but mostly known for YouTube. And, you know, some folks calling him the Great White Hype, like he's going to go in there and knock out Mayweather, because the odds are crazy. Mayweather is the favorite by a long shot, but there's an upset. If he was to beat Mayweather, it would just, you know, a lot of people betting on him would make a lot of money, which I don't think is going to happen. If he do beat him, I think it's rigged. But, you know, there's a racial element in sports that plays into this. And I don't know if y'all heard about the fight. You know, are y'all watching it? Do y'all care? Like, what? Tell me what y'all think, Queen Raja and our brother Mufasa. Are y'all watching the fight? Have y'all heard about it or what?
You know, I'm a fan. You know, I'm a fan.
Yes,
so,
indeed. Yes, indeed.
I know I did hear about it, so I do plan on watching it if I can. I didn't look into it because for this one, I it just wasn't on my radar until you mentioned it to me the other day. But, you know, if the opportunity comes up, I definitely will not pass it by. So I may look into watching it.
Right, just to see. Just to be clear, Mayweather is still professionally 50-0. Even if he was to lose this, it would not go on his professional record. But I think this is a money grab for Mayweather. He even said in his own words that it's a legalized bank robbery. So I don't think Mayweather get enough credit just for, you know, his businesses, his investments, and you know, he found a craft and basically perfected it and stuck to it, which I think is a good example. You know, if he don't do nothing else, just, you know, that example alone of how he took his craft serious, he went in, you know, studied, worked hard, and dedicated himself to the sport that he loved. And the results paid off, you know, with some good business moves or whatnot. But, Brother Mufasa, did you hear about the fight? Are you watching the fight, and, you know, do you have any thoughts on Mayweather fighting YouTube or Logan Paul? The greatest of all time. Arguably, Mayweather could be the greatest of all time. Easy, you know what I'm saying? But what you think about it, brother?
Well, I say I understand why Floyd is doing it on the money thing, because it's to generate, you know, income.
Mm-hmm.
It's bringing in some
yeah.
big money. But on the other hand, it's like, come on, Floyd, man. Why you keep playing around with these cats? You'd have made enough money to last you
right.
and generations. You don't have to go out here and keep playing around with these folks. To me, it's embarrassing. Like, he shouldn't even, this dude shouldn't even, he don't deserve to be in the ring with somebody in the caliber of Floyd Mayweather. He don't deserve
right,
it. Floyd just giving these cats, he's giving these guys little payouts, including getting himself a payout, but it's like, it's ridiculous. Why? They don't deserve it.
I totally agree. And I think a lot of that, I think a lot of that could be that, unfortunately, you have people that just can't let it go. You know, I think it's time for him to pass the baton. Just continue to train these younger generations to do what you did. I mean, you had your time in the ring. You know, just like even with artists, I say this all the time, like with some artists that I may work with, the older artists, it's like, you've had your time to shine. You know, why not mold up someone else, a younger person, to step in your shoes? You know, I think that time would be better spent by doing that. I totally agree with what Mufasa said. Like, why waste your time in the
room? He got guys to do that with. And that's the crazy part, right? He got guys that he could do that with.
He is doing that, though. He is doing that, though, in his defense, because I would agree with y'all. If he was still fighting professionally, but by this being an exhibition, it's kind of like, and he just doing it for the money. But to Tanya, to Queen Rigel's point, he is working with young boxers. You know, you got Mayweather Promotions where he promote young fighters. He work with them and teach them and get them the game that he got. So I think he is passing the baton, but I think he still wants to be relevant and he can make money and basically beat the brakes off these cats. Like, he fought Conor McGregor. He said he may fight another, MMA fight or whatnot. So, you know, I would agree with y'all, but like I said, I think he is doing
well,
that.
Yeah. You got to encourage him.
I know he does work with some young
fire.
Yeah. That's what I'm concerned about. And I just feel like, although I do know too that he does do work with younger boxers, so I didn't mean to make it sound like he just don't, because I do know that he do. But it's like I'm just with Mufasa. Why play with fire? Just take this time.
Because
use the time more wisely than that. But hey, I guess it's fun.
I do know this dude is a Disney kid, right?
Yeah, and a Disney kid, him and his brother.
And to me, that's dangerous. dangerous.
Look, because I'm going to be honest, if Mayweather was to lose to this guy, which I don't believe he would, but it would still tarnish his image. Not that he wouldn't be the greatest fighter, but you would just hate to see Mayweather get knocked out by this dude, and it would just be ugly. You know what I'm saying? That wouldn't be a good look. Yeah, Disney guy. That would not be a good look. But I think, you know, he up for the challenge. And I don't think this dude stands a chance. He's fighting a professional fighter who's 50 years old. Now, he does weigh more than that's true. He weighs more than Mayweather, and he's taller than Mayweather. So if he get in
the
ring, he got to fight.
Considering the time that we're in, the state of time that we're in, it's like
anything
can happen. Things are so political more and more. It's so controlling.
Yes.
We got so many puppets.
Yes.
It's like, why play around with fire?
Stranger
like
things
that.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's why
I said that thing about him being a Disney kid. Man, you don't know what these folks be on. I mean, I got to just, you know, be the controversial one and say that. We know what Disney all about. Shit, they got paper, man. I don't think that they
that's
will
true.
Look good for a Disney team
now, look,
to knock out Floyd Mayweather.
Yes, because look, this is the thing, and you hit on a good point, because the odds are so much in Mayweather's favor. If you was to bet on Logan Paul and he was to win, you would win so much money. So just think. You know, like you say, he backed by Disney. It's a lot of money over there. Come on, man. And we've seen Stranger Things. Like Roger said, it is the season for Strange Things, and we'd be like, wow. You know, we never thought that would happen. But I don't know. I'm hoping that, Floyd's smarter than that, and he just go in there and
He already ain't smarter than that because he's doing the fight tonight.
Well, so, you know, that's
done and over with now. Now we just got to pray that he can make it through. But, I mean, hey, it is what it is.
Now, let me add this little fuel to the fire. I don't know if you know about this, Brother Kev, but Paul, I forget his, what's the boy's first name?
Logan Paul and Jake Paul.
Right, Logan fighting Floyd, right?
Logan fighting Floyd, right. And then Jake is fighting Tyron Woodley.
Now, see, that's what I was just going to bring up. Now, I want people to understand, especially people from St. Louis. Tyron Woodley, if y'all don't know who he is, y'all need to look this cat up. Because this man was a champion in the UFC, a reigning champion for about 3 years, 3+ years.
Fact.
And he don't get his just due. This brother was knocking cats out. You know, and he holds a soft spot in my heart because I had the opportunity to work out with the brother before and spar with him. So he holds a soft spot in my heart. Good dude. You know what I'm saying? You know a little bit about him too.
Yes, indeed. He was married to a cousin of mine. So I know the brother. Yeah, good brother. He fighting. Him, this is a money grab for him. The money's good. It's on pay-per-view. That's not on this card. No, they fighting I want to say July, August. They fighting sometime coming up. On this card, you actually have a good undercard. Chad Ochocinco fighting. I don't know if you guys know him. I know you know him, Mufasa.
That's tonight, right?
A boxer. I mean, he was a that's tonight. He played football, wide receiver. So Ochocinco having his first fight. The fans of boxing, it should be good to see guys get in there and do some work. And we're going to see how it goes. But it's always, y'all know me, it's always about race. So, you know, I feel like they looking for Logan Paul to be the great white hype, to beat the greatest boxer of all time. And he's black. That'd just be they would just love for him to be Mayweather. You know what I'm saying? You got that element. But we just wanted to put that out there. If you can, check it out. And if it's a big upset, we'll be discussing it next week. If not, Mayweather just didn't handle this business. You dig? But if you're just joining us, family, this is Collective Minds Radio. We hear it. I'm Cosmic Care. We got our brother Mufasa Ra and Queen Rigel. I'm going to let y'all have the flow. Is there something y'all want to, bring up or put on the table? What's good before we get to the call line?
Mufasa?
All right.
Anything?
Yeah. Well, what I wanted to bring up was, I'm always big on separation. because it's been so chaotic here in North America with, racial tension and this and that. And my teacher has taught me separation is the answer. We've talked about in the past episodes, how does that look? Is that even possible? Is it feasible? We went around that discussion. So I want to give a shout out to the Freedom Georgia Initiative. And that's the 19 families. We brought this up a couple weeks ago, too. 19 families who brought land out in Georgia in order to, basically do just that, separate. So I'm going to read a little bit of this article just so y'all can see what's going on as of late, if you don't mind.
Yes, indeed.
This comes out of the Final Call newspaper. In the midst of a country going through social unrest and what has been described as racial reckoning, 19 black families got together to create a safe haven for black people under the name Freedom Georgia Initiative. And with the leadership and vision of two women, Ashley Scott and Renee Walters, they initially purchased 96.71 acres of land in central Georgia. Our initial goal was simple, to create a safe space for our family, our 19 families, to have a place that was economically independent and self-sufficient for ourselves to enjoy and to bring our friends, our family, visitors, people who want to enjoy the space that we are creating, to give them the place and the opportunity to do so. Ms. Scott, a realtor and one of the founders of the initiative, told the Final Call, "At its core, we're just simply 19 families that are on one accord. We've unified to start the Freedom Georgia Initiative, which is our goal and our way of creating generational wealth and food and sovereignty for ourselves. The group has now purchased an additional 500 acres of land because they had gotten so many requests from people asking to live in the area with them. They saw the vision and they wanted to be a part of it. So we are establishing what we hope will become the City of Freedom, Georgia, which is a self-sufficient, safe haven for black families," Ms. Scott said. Man, big ups to them two sisters.
Man, that's beautiful.
Boots to the ground. Y'all can look that up or, you know, Google up the Freedom Georgia Initiative. But that's beautiful what they're doing. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And more in this article, there's small groups all over. It's a group in Texas that's doing the same thing. It's small little groups in the South that are doing just that. They're just saying, hey, look, we're just going to go and carve us out a piece of land for ourselves and make it happen. So
right.
I just wanted to share that with y'all. Yeah. And, you know, y'all can do some more research on that. But that's fantastic. Fantastic
news. Yeah, man, when you was reading that, I wanted to hit the round of applause button on that. But yeah, bro, I think that is definitely dope. And yeah, that's what you need to do. So when you talk about separation, now I could definitely see that vision, and we should have spaces like that and communities that are black run and black owned, just like every other community does. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need to have spaces like that that's controlled by us. See, the problem is we have majority black cities and towns, but it's not really controlled by us. You know, everything from the education to the hospitals to all these institutions are controlled by the people who actually live in those communities. So, yeah, that's a beautiful thing, and we definitely need that, you know. Because this city's for sale. Like, I just be looking online. You be seeing cities online for sale for like $1 million or $2 million or, you know, hundreds and hundreds of acres and this and less. So there is land in the United States. It just takes the capital to be willing to put it down and go out on a venture like that, you know, to invest in a big project like that. But like they just showed, if you got enough people, you know, that's like-minded, you can come together and everybody can do a little, so don't nobody got to do a lot. You know what I'm saying? People just put their money together and then you build. And that's where the work come in, because if we separate, we're going to have to do all the work. You know what I'm saying? No more white mommy and daddy doing the heavy lifting. We would actually have to do the heavy lifting for real. But that's the position we want to be in. That way we can control, you know, our dynamic. We can't control our own demonstration and whatnot. And we ain't got to tell nobody Black Lives Matter. You know what I'm saying? Because they matter where we at. You know what I'm saying? So, that's definitely the goal, brother. So, you talk about
I'm browsing,
I can see that. I can actually see that. You know. So,
I'm browsing over the articles, because that was like two other groups that was mentioned in this article too, that are doing the work also. You know, I was trying to browse over to find it, but I haven't found it just yet. I like to give actual facts. This might be it right here. Let me see if it's it. Christina Muhammad, coordinator for the 10,000 Fearless First Responders out of Austin, Texas, has been building on land in Thrall, Texas. Hopefully I didn't butcher that up, which is a little less than an hour away from Austin. She and her husband purchased 100 acres of land in September, which will be used to establish a community called 10,000 Fearless Community Ranch. A portion of the land will be used for residential living, a portion will be used for farming, and a portion will be for commercial uses. They are looking to have 30 residential
right.
homes, a school, a medical facility, a gas station, a hotel, and other amenities. Hey, shout out to them as well. You know, see, you know, you drop seeds. Sometimes you don't be around to see the seeds blossom and grow into a flower. But you plant them seeds,
right.
and, hey. And so all praise is due to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who put that out there
years ago. Years ago. Now, look, check this out, Devil. This is a perfect segue, you feel me? Because y'all know that June is this particular June is the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa race massacre, right? Some people call it a race riot, which I don't like that name, but this was actually a massacre. It was racial terrorism. But from May 31st to June 1st, 1921, is when the Tulsa race terrorism happened to black people in the Greenwood District of Tulsa, Oklahoma, right? So it lasted 3 days. People say, you know, up to 300 casualties was actually in the thing. So when you talk about black people establishing towns and doing their own thing and creating their own economy and having the dollar circulating, we were actually doing that in 1921. So it's funny, 100 years later, here we are where these people in Freedom, Georgia are trying to do the same thing. You know, so I think that's dope. You know, we got to remember what happened in Tulsa so it doesn't happen again. And we got to remember that, you know, after they couldn't, you know, after the black people was fighting back and putting in that work, we got to remember they got up in planes and started dropping bombs. You feel me?
Yeah.
That's how serious it got. They used, you know, government planes. They had the National Guard come in and all this type of stuff. So a lot of the people in there, this wasn't just some, you know, random white mob just running through this town. No, these were
government.
You know, government officials. These were your regular old white folk. These were a lot of people who helped to actually burn this town down. And, you know, the official story is somebody was on an elevator and said something to a white woman, something crazy. But the truth of the matter is, you know, a lot of those white people were jealous of the money the people were making in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They had money, they had cars, they had mansions, they had their own churches, schools, businesses, municipal buildings. You know, they was doing their thing. Yet the white folks who lived nearby started to get jealous of the money that they were making, and that's when they found a reason to go in or make up a reason to go in and destroy the whole community. And this has happened a lot of black people, whether it's, just real quick, whether it's they driving, building highways through black communities, or they just going in using terrorism to get black people out. It's been going on for a long time, but long as we learn from the past and what happened, I think we'll be good. We can be better prepared, you know, for the future. But go ahead, my brother. My bad. I didn't mean to be long.
I was just gonna add to what you said by saying that, if I'm not mistaken, when that the man whistled at this white woman or whatever, he was supposed to have been arrested and had a trial. And at this trial, there was talks that he was gonna be strung up. So black people came to his defense. And to my knowledge, that's how it kicked off. So when black people came armed, you know, to his defense, and when it kicked off, you know, it was more white people got killed in the initial beginning than black people.
Right.
Did. So I do want to give them they just doing say they just
yes,
didn't
sir.
Lay down now.
That's a fact. That's
you know,
what I'm talking about. Like, they
did just
lay
down.
They was kicking.
Yeah.
Exactly. They was defending themselves until they start dropping them bombs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. But I don't like, sometimes the narrative get painted like they just laid down. Like, you know, they were just weak, but they was kicking up dust too. So I don't want to sound like
that.
Like they just got their tail whooped and wasn't that trying to fight neither. You know,
right,
but
nah,
like you say, we have to learn from that
and do an even better job
now to defend ourselves.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Now that we know what's, you know, what we up against more so now, we just have to do an even greater job. Don't be scared and say, oh,
that's
because that happened to them. We can't overcome. You know, don't have the woe is me mentality like, oh, they got us then and they going to get us again and be scared to move out on our vision and our dream. No. If we
want our own stuff,
then we still can build it. We just know now we got to do a better job of defending ourselves because they tried. They just wasn't prepared. You know, so, don't be thinking that they was weak now. They was trying.
They fall back, most definitely. They fall
right,
back.
I think what I was taking away from what Brother Kevin was saying is how that they initiated the incident. It's not that they that the black community necessarily just laid down and was mild and meek, but it's just the fact that the white community actually initiated the terror. You know, they made up a story.
Right,
and
they
were
defending themselves.
Right, and they defended themselves. Yes, so I'm definitely with you that it is good to acknowledge that part about it too, that they were defending themselves, that they and they did fight back. You know, with
and like the brother
that's...
said, the brother said they stuck together because they were like, no, you're not going to falsely accuse this man of something that he didn't do, and you're not going to just come in here and try to hang him or do whatever you want to him, which that is very honorable, and I hate that we kind of lost that cohesiveness and that vigor to fight if somebody is falsely accused or if somebody is killed unjustly, as we see, you know, with a lot of these videos and whatnot, that the whole community stands up like, no, that's not going to go down. That's not right.
And it cost them a lot. Exactly.
And speaking of George Floyd, there's been protests in Minneapolis going on these past few days, you know. So that fire's been relit, you know what I'm saying? So, it's a lot going on, man. But like I say, with this anniversary of Tulsa, you know, it's good to study and learn, you know, from what happened in the past. Family, I don't know if y'all want to touch on anything. This is Collective Minds. Hit us up. The number is 929-477-1697.
Okay.
Hey, I don't know. Was you finna take a call, right? If not, I was going to add one other thing, but it can wait.
Go ahead. You sure?
Let's go ahead.
I just add this real quick, and we can talk about it, you know, maybe so more so next week. But, you know, for the last 90 years, the Nation of Islam have been mocked. You know, ridiculed, but it's teachings on what we call the mother plane and its aim and purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Now the government admits that that UFOs are real, and that vindicates what the most honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Louis Farrakhan had warned about and prophesied about. You know, Elijah brought this up in the 30s, and now here we are today, 2021, the government having to go ahead and admit, stuff out here we don't know nothing about. So we can dive deeper into that at a later time. But I did want to just mention it because I thought, you know, Roger had that in our description, so I did want to mention it.
Right, that's
yes, indeed. Now, that's very interesting, right. That is very interesting. And, we definitely just going to talk about it because they have been putting it out lately. And a lot of people in the conscious community are just, you know, people who are aware have been predicting that the government is going to have some type of UFO invasion. You know, like they do the movies about it and, oh, they're coming and this and that. But my thing is, you know, if there are aliens out there or whatnot, they coming to help the people. And anything other than that is probably government. You know what I'm saying? And then when I say the people, I mean, I believe they're coming to help the indigenous, you know, original black man and woman, if you will, if the aliens do come down or whatnot. But anything other than that, like I say, would be government. They may do some type of PSYOP where they do some fake UFO, but it's really their technology and whatnot. So, yeah, we just got to be aware and be careful and don't jump out the window. If you see on the news one day, they'd be like, oh, the aliens are here. You know, don't jump out the window. Just sit back and peep game and see what's really going on before you take the bait. At least that's what I'm telling myself. You know what I'm saying? I ain't suggesting that for nobody, but that's what I'm going to do if something pop off. Because I be seeing these little reports, so it's kind of like they warming up the public to get ready for, oh, here's the big one. They're here. It's alive. It's going to be breaking news like 9/11 on every channel, a big spacecraft in the air, some, you know, something crazy. Just sit back. You know, we in a time where we're seeing things that we've never seen before, so you just got to take a step back and really look at and see if what you're seeing is what you're seeing. You know what I'm saying? Look with your third eye, not your two eyes. But I digress. You feel me?
Yeah, they that was also something, if you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I also thought that was part of the teachings of Elijah as well, that they are for our community as far as, you know, if they come in here
yeah, like
to help. Yeah.
Right, like the wheel and the mothership, the wheel and all that stuff. See, a lot of that stuff is, I believe, you know, just my personal opinion is, you know, there are spiritual beings and things that we can't see, and they may, you know, come in this dimension somewhat. But anything like physical, like a spacecraft, a UFO, a flying saucer, I think a lot of that stuff is government. But I think spiritually, yes, there are other beings. There are things out there that we can't see that have the ability to appear and move things and whatnot and be seen. So I personally do, yes, believe that. You know what I'm saying? But I digress. But that is interesting, though, that stuff has been coming up lately and they're trying to, you know, warm the people up to the UFOs.
I go into some more with y'all next week. We can get to the call line.
Yeah, let's do that.
I'll say this real quick, and I'm going to get to the call line. One other interesting thing, too, is that they started naming it UFO, I believe, in the 50s. Elijah, when they stole all his information, his research, in the 30s, he wasn't saying UFOs. The government decided to call UFOs to discredit what the nation was teaching. So they didn't want to say it's the wheel because that would mean they were saying, okay, he was right, and they were concerned that people would gravitate more towards the nation and the teachings. So they didn't want to call it the wheel as he was telling them it was called. So when they started to see it, because he started to warn them, and when they started to see evidence of what he had been warning them for years, instead of them saying, okay, he's right, this is the wheel, they like, okay, now we're going to call it UFOs to separate it.
Right. And which, remember, UFO stands for unidentified flying object.
So,
hey, you know how they do. Well said,
Queen Roger, well said.
They
didn't want to say, oh, my God, this is the will that he was talking about. Because they know people will start now listening, like, okay, well, maybe we need to pay attention to this young man. But they didn't want to do that, so they tried to separate the information and the knowledge by calling it something else.
He was ahead of his time with a lot of his stuff, man. He was ahead of his time. He used a lot of science and dates and years and you know, how old the earth is and how old man is. And, you know, Elijah came with a lot of wisdom. And you got to think, he was talking that back in
the 30s.
What was the height? What, the 30s? 40, right, the 30s, 40s? Like, come on, man. He talking some high science back then. And yeah, as you can see, he was getting black people on point. You know, he was getting us on point.
You know,
in the 30s.
I must
so
say
that,
this.
Yeah, that's big.
I must say this. I have to, because the reason he was able to speak about those things, and we call them in the nation actual fact, because he had a teacher. He had a teacher and a man who we believe was God Allah in the person. And that man taught Elijah these things. So that was God in the person. So, I mean,
that's
you can speak facts and things that the normal man don't know if you got a divine entity teaching you.
Right,
so,
right.
You know,
so he used to be talking about,
Master Farah. Master Farah Muhammad is his name.
Yes, indeed. So just real quick, what are some of the actual facts? Like, I know, like, the diameter of the earth, the speed of light, like, Muggs be running off all type of stats, which is dope. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, y'all be running them off. I know I heard Brother Nuri Muhammad go. He said the circumference of the earth, the sun, the distance from the earth to the sun. He was rattling off all type of numbers. I say, dang. that's dope.
Yeah, you got
dope.
I'm saying, like, you know, the diameter of the earth, like you say, 7,926 miles, brother. You know, area of land, area of water.
Right.
Let me think. The deserts, 4,861,000 square miles. Mount Everest, at this time, was 29,141 feet. You know. Yeah, these are things that we had to study coming in. You know, the original man is, who the colored man was, the population of the original nation, the square mileage of the earth, square mileage. How would you know what the square mileage is as a human? Unless something designed.
The planet, right, the square.
The square mileage of the earth, 196,940,000 square miles.
Yes, indeed.
And these things have been proven by science afterwards. So they never came out and disproven. Never came out and disproven. So we know who we had in our presence.
Right. And so, look, that go back to my thing is, which is gnosis. You know, G-N-O-S-I-S, which is, you know thyself, have knowledge of self, have knowledge of the divinity inside you and the divinity in others. So knowledge of self, which Elijah Muhammad speaks about, how do you get knowledge of self? How do you know thyself? You know thyself by studying one's environment, which is what he did. He studied the earth. He studied, you know, mathematics, studied things like that. You have to study the things around you in order to know yourself. You know what I'm saying? That's part of knowing thyself is, you know, being curious about your environment and studying and applying those things that you've learned about nature, about life, about science, about things like that. That is actually how you know yourself, by studying the planet you're on. You know what I'm saying? The sun, things like that, plants, the foods you eat. Study, you know, you should be curious about all these things of life, and that, you know, accumulative knowledge is how you know yourself. You know what I'm saying? So, he's one of the fathers of consciousness in Black America. You know what I'm saying? That's a fact. That's a factory. So, yeah, shout out to Elijah once again.
Master Farah Muhammad. Master Farah Muhammad. So we talking about God coming as a man to raise up a man in Elijah. So, man, don't let me get started preaching. I'm just a baby Muslim.
That, you hear me? Yes, indeed. You got the about to go in your bag. Mufasa about to go in your bag.
Pull out that bow tie.
But
yeah,
let's get it.
Up the bow tie with a T-shirt on.
Take the bow tie with the T-shirt.
You sitting up there with a T-shirt on. You need to pull the bow tie out.
But okay, brother, just real quick before we get to call lines, you know, our favorite Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, you know, any word on him? I know, have y'all been having, you know, conferences? How's he doing? You know, has he put out a word or anything? Just what's the update on the brother minister?
Brother minister is doing good. You know, I say he just celebrated his 88th birthday, May 11th of this year. So, yeah, man, the minister is still going strong, you know. And, yeah, that's our guy, man. That's our guy. We need to appreciate him and give him his flowers while he's still with us.
Flowers.
We don't know how long he'll be with us, but he's still with us now, and he's still ticking. So, yeah,
minister's
doing good. Like I say, happy belated birthday to him again. I think I brought it up last week, but I got to say it again. Now, happy birthday to the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, 88 years of age.
88 years young. Let's get it. Yeah, that's dope. All right, just checking, you know, because I'll be looking forward to his, you know, when he do his speeches periodically and Savior's Day and, you know, when he's speaking at the mosque or whatnot, or speaking via, you know, YouTube, I'll be looking forward to them speeches. And, you know, and in his age, he didn't kind of calm down. But I remember, you know, that Louis Farrakhan from the late 80s, early 90s. Oh, he was a fireball, boy. He used to get it in. You hear me?
Yeah.
He's going to speak
it like I said, man.
Oh, he's
planted seeds,
in, bro.
Planted seeds.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I say. You might not always see, you know, the fruits of your labor, but that man planted a lot of seeds out here. You know what I'm saying?
That's
so,
a fact.
Hey.
That's an artifact, yeah. Bro.
Mm-hmm. It's good brother. Good brother, man.
All right.
Good brother.
All right, all right. If y'all want to, you want to hit the call lines, or what are we doing, Queen Roger?
Okay, this is the call line. Area code 314-381. Call the on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment?
Man, the thing I hear you guys talking about is just comical sometimes.
Like what? Enlightenment.
Elijah Muhammad.
We already knew
Elijah Muhammad
that he was going to get
determined the diameter of the earth and all that stuff that was done two or 4,000 years before him.
but he repeated those facts, though.
Yeah, that's what he's done.
He
read some books and repeated the facts to people that never heard it. People up in the northeast corner of and people in the northeast corner of Egypt was making
right,
those.
Right, but the fact, but look, the reason why you got to give him credit, because even though we know the diameter of the earth was already figured out, he brought that knowledge to a people who was just coming out of slavery, a people who couldn't, you know, you couldn't even read for real.
What year was that?
We talking about the 30s, 30s, 40s, 50s.
Well, blacks,
you know what I'm saying?
You know how know?
Some, but I'm talking about we're talking about a mass amount of people who are just coming out of slavery and not even reading books.
Well, they weren't
like
coming
that.
Out of
you
slavery in
saying?
The 1930s.
No. But I'm saying you still only 60 years removed. Like that's not even a lot of time.
Like you just don't pop out of slavery 1 year and then
you don't just
back
don't
on
pop out like that.
Well, how did those 22 black scientists that worked on the Manhattan Project going back, and they was born back in the early 1900s, how did they learn that? Matter of fact,
right.
There's letters
about
Lord Clauterman is corresponding with Einstein, and Einstein is agreeing on him. So,
right.
And
we know
of course
we
not. That's not
people.
Total.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Shout out to those scientists. Now, what did they do for the black community as a whole? Did they get out and teach
them? They helped produce a weapon that helped end the war to save millions of people's lives.
Yeah, but I'm saying did they get out and spread this knowledge to other people, to the community?
Did they help uplift
the spiritually and mentally dead?
That wasn't their job.
No,
it was working. It was working in science.
There you go.
You got
right,
to
right. So they had their job.
You had mathematicians.
So they had his job, and I had his job.
Hell no. You know, if that was the case, them kids over there in Normandy High School, you would have more than 5% of them in math proficient and 10 to 14% of them in reading proficiency. With a graduation
right.
rate of 70 to 74%. Where's the effort to teach those kids that stuff? Hazelwood East is pretty bad. East St. Louis, less than 1% of those kids in high school can do math proficient. Less than 1%.
Right.
Where's the help on that?
Okay, well, if that's true.
That's over there by Minister Ralph's deal. But anyway,
right. So,
I was going to say something,
true,
too, about Wall
good.
Street.
And that falls on
huh?
parents. I said, if that's
nope.
true, that's not good. And that falls on the parents and the community, you know, as the adults to get that situation together, you know.
Well, yeah, you would think so.
So, yeah. That's
you know, I was
going to
say
goes.
Something about... The word black is being thrown around too broad when you talk about an incident in Tulsa, Oklahoma. What black
right,
were
so
those?
What do you mean? Well, they were classified as black. They could have been mixed with Native Americans. You know, or they could have been mixed with the
that land,
people
that
from
land.
The tribes in Oklahoma.
Oklahoma became a state in 19... Oklahoma became a state in 1907, and that event
okay.
occurred in 1921. It's 14 years. That land belonged
right.
to McCovey Creek. It's still a nation. East of them, northeast of them, it belongs to the Cherokee. You got the Osage
right.
Reservation. That's
mm-hmm.
not far from there. You also got the Chickasaw. Both McCovey
right.
Creek and Chickasaw had slaves. Big time. Matter of fact, people say
okay.
that this word slave catcher come from white going to track down slaves. That's just not true. Indians
mm-hmm.
had slave catchers and bounty hunters way before white settlers started getting into the mix. Matter of fact, the United States government paid the Chickasaw a couple other tribes to release their slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I've heard
they
I've
had
heard
Africans
that,
with
that the
they had Africans
slaves, yeah.
as slaves. They had Africans
mm-hmm.
as slaves. If a Chickasaw, if a Creek mother, woman, bred with an African, that child was a Creek. And more likely the child's skin was dark. And a lot of that was going on.
Right.
So when they
right.
was removed in 1832, and then they came in again with an 1866 treaty, the reason why come they had to sign the treaty because the Creek fought with the Confederates.
Mm-hmm.
And because the Creek had slaves. And when you lost the war, you had to sign the treaty. You had to live up to the stipulations of the treaty, just like Japan has, just like Germany had. And
right.
the U.S. government told them that they had to release those African slaves. Well, like I said, they bought them, and some of them still stayed with them. That's when they started being called freemen. Some of them, not all. And then when they was removed further up into the panhandle of Texas, where they are now, and they're doing some marvelous things up there with them casinos, building town, city, industry, schools, and water plants and everything
right.
else.
Right, right.
When they was asked did they want to be U.S. citizens or be Americans or remain Creek, they said, we're going to remain Creek.
Mm.
In 1979, the Creek Nation expelled blacks out of their nation. That was just in 79.
Hmm. Dang.
The what so you call slave codes, you talk about slave codes being bad in Louisiana and Mississippi. The Creek had
right.
way worse slave codes than that.
And this is in
Muscogee
Oklahoma.
Creek.
Oklahoma.
And it was a lot of them in what you call Wall Street. Yeah. That land, see, you can't buy that land from them, even if you're a member of the tribe. Indian just means a member of the tribe. That's the legal name. You can't buy that land. You can lease it. So if you was a member of the Creek and you wanted 1,000 acres, the council would give you 1,000 acres to work for however period of time. Another thing about that area, it had a lot of oil on it underneath the ground. The main commodity was agriculture and oil. That's why come the people in those communities were so rich, because they were supplying oil to the military during World War I, and also food stuff, too, with agriculture. Jake Simmons,
right.
who you can read about, he was a power broker in Texas. He was a Creek. He was an intermediary between the oil companies in the United States, Standard Oil and Mobil, with African countries like Nigeria and Ghana. What they never could find with the technology that they had at the time, they couldn't find oil in Ghana. They found oil offshore Ghana presently as we talk. Jake Simmons was a Creek. They got a book about him. It's called Staking the Claim. It's by a guy by the name of Jonathan Greenberg. It's a difficult thing to figure out, and you get bits and pieces to figure out what the heck was going on. You had black Americans that came out of Chicago, Illinois, or inspectors of Chicago, that came over and helped work on some of those projects and building those buildings, those brick buildings. And some of them, I think, may be even standing today. But when you look at that general picture of those people, you're looking at a whole lot of Creek Indians whose skin is just as dark as Wesley Snipes. And that's where we get in trouble by associating things due to skin color and throwing this word black around.
Right,
but
right.
Do some research, and you'll find that out yourself. And by the way, your boy Fauci, his house is starting to tumble down around him. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, that's that was bound to happen because Fauci was
vaccinations and that.
Now his vaccines, yeah, his emails then came out where he was kind of contradicting.
Yeah,
Fauci got a lot explaining to do.
Well, you do. Yeah, but anyway, check out on them Creeks. You know, I can send you some stuff that I found out. And, you know, here's another thing, too. I don't want to take up too much time. Like I told you, that 40 acres in the Mule, that was Indian
right.
land they were talking about giving away. That wouldn't have worked.
Now, tell me this. Is it true that a lot of Native American and Indians were reclassified as black? Because when you look at,
they didn't want to be black.
Listen. When you look at the Indians in the Southeast region, like Florida, the Geechies in the Carolinas, the Seminoles, in those areas, those were dark-skinned Native Americans, meaning they could be reclassified as black. So I'm not talking about maybe the Midwest.
Let me ask you a question.
West,
when did slavery end? When did slavery end?
1865. Some 1865, 66.
Who proclaimed it?
Proclamation. What is it?
Lincoln?
The Union States. Yeah, Lincoln and the Union States.
All right.
Right.
Lincoln had no jurisdiction over those Indian nations. the Indian
nation. Well,
some
of them, right?
No, they were sovereign countries.
Right, right.
The Creek
right.
didn't.
Yeah, the Indian nation.
The Creek didn't release their slaves until June 14th, 1866.
Oh,
and the other
ones
started releasing theirs after that up until July. You know, the Choctaw.
Right, right.
The
yeah.
Chickasaw. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said before, the Chickasaw, especially the Mississippi Chickasaw, they told the U.S. government, we ain't giving up our property unless you want to buy it. And the U.S. government came up with the money. You know what other countries done that too back in the 1500s? Spain done it.
What's that?
Because Spain had,
right.
you had Africans that escaped or left out of the Carolinas, went down into Florida, just north of St. Augustine, and built a settlement, a fortified settlement. They called it Fort Moses. And when English settlers came mm-hmm. looking for their property, Spain paid them for what they wanted because the king of Spain put out a decree and said, any slaves come to this area, there in St. Augustine, and if you subscribe to Catholicism, you would be free.
Mm. Oh, wow. Yes, indeed. That's crazy.
And
well,
one other thing,
you
know those blacks that formed those cities like in Georgia, you can form a
right.
city, but you can't keep other people from coming and living in it and doing business. Plus, it's in the United States.
Right, right, right. That's true. Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, I don't think that would be smart business-wise either, but I think you could just control your economics. But you don't
I tell you something else that could come, too,
and
happen, too.
Money. That's good.
If you have
yeah.
commercial development that can develop right next to it, with your Walmarts and other, guess what's going to happen to your state taxes in that area that they just bought? Your taxes going to go up.
Will they go up? All right. Well,
all right.
I
you
just
learn
to
ask an old
too.
Person. They'll tell you.
Right. Yes, indeed. Appreciate it.
Right.
But yeah, speaking of that, I think the best thing to do in the black city would be to keep the Walmart out, and then you should just have the little small mom and pops where people get, you know, they essential needs on a daily, as opposed to going to Walmart, which is a big conglomerate and will eat up all the other small.
You don't have to. How many Walmarts
in
the city of St. Louis? They in the county, right? Yeah, so they just
right.
open. They
yes,
just build next
the
door.
County.
They don't have to build within your city limit. They build next door. Your
right,
people
right,
are gonna
right.
come over and spend with them. And the state is going to, if they build commercial next to your residential settlement, the state is going to raise the taxes in your residential stuff. They've done that in many other places, too. That's just the way it works, man. You can't go on no place unless you want to go to Mars.
No, well, yeah. They talking about that with Elon Musk.
I know I'm with Brother Kev. Yeah. They can set up a Walmart, but that don't mean nobody from my community got to go and patronize it.
Right. That's a fact.
All right, all right. All right, all right. Thank you so much, Carlos.
Appreciate
it.
No, it's the people who support these those businesses. It's the people come together and say, hey, we ain't going over there.
Right.
Walmart ain't got
that
business from outside. All the same people who send up in communities, like Brother Cam said. They put a store or two on their land, and if the people buy in
mm-hmm.
and say, hey, look, no matter what, this is the store that we're supporting.
This we shop.
Okay, yeah, we might
That's
have to pay a little extra. We might have to spend a little extra
right.
money. But doggone it, we want to keep our money in-house.
That's a fact.
And the people just have to
yeah.
be disciplined to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It ain't easy. Anything great, it ain't going to be easy, so... You know, you're going to have to make
right.
the sacrifices, whether that's spending money or saving money or whatever. You're going to have
yeah.
some type of sacrifices to, you know, to get the job
sacrifice.
Done. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Yep, that's a fact. So, yeah. But, no, the caller was dropping some good info about the you know, the Indians and Native Americans of that area in Oklahoma. And I did hear that, you know, some of the tribes, like Cherokee and the few that he mentioned, did have slaves back in the day. And then I do know, like I was saying, a lot of the southwest part and even up along the east coast, a lot of them were reclassified as black, meaning they mixed with black people, you know. But, you know, I digress. That's history. I consider myself, I love history, so I be trying to dive in and, you know, understand how we got to this point, you dig? So, but yeah, anything else y'all want to touch on or y'all want to get the call lines? What's good?
We can get the call one. Area code 319-572. Call, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment?
I'm just going to make a quick comment. It's just kind of funny how people still think they own land and property.
So you saying never own Colin?
You never own it, dang. Not for real, because you got to make your money. Whoever you got the money from owns it. You make the payment. They take it. Then once you get them paid off, you still got to pay taxes on the land. So it's never really yours. You always got to continue to pay for it. And it's almost like the government saying, yeah, we'll lease you this land as long as you pay your taxes.
Now, let me say this, because you are, you know, truthful. I mean, you're right on that, caller. But here's the but. I'm either going to pay taxes in an area that I don't want to be in, where I'm, you know, amongst a community of people who ain't on the same mindset as me, or I can pay taxes in an area that's full of like-minded people like myself and doing the things that I like to do. Which one of these places... Okay, if I got to pay taxes in one or two, let me at least pay the taxes in the one that I want to be in. Shit. I mean,
well,
people do it here all the time. Other people got communities. Why come we can't? We got to quit making excuses. When it's time for us to start making communities and standing out, we start getting into that mindset of, hey, we always going to pay taxes, or we can't do it, or this is going to, and that's going to happen. We have to stop doing it. Let's go ahead and make our community. And then once we make our community, then we can deal with all that other stuff afterwards. Yeah, we can't get away from the fact, but at least,
are you
going to
let people that come in? Are you
just going to
let anybody come in? If these little communities pop it up, how are they just going to decide who gets to live there and who don't? Like Yaki said. So... are you going to be like, oh, no, you guys can't come here, but you guys can. How is that going
to
work?
I think what we need to
I guess
we
that's
to
all
do,
I'm
you can't do that.
You cannot do that. You cannot do that. Stop somebody from coming in to your community or going to your businesses. You can't do that per se, but we know how others get down when they try to stop people from, you know, coming around. Even though I don't think black people have that in them to do the type of things that white people do, if they feel a black person is out of line or in their community, you know how they call the police and do all these, you know, little random, little sneaky things that they do. But I don't think black people would do that. You know, I think it just is what it is. We would have our stuff. You can come and do good business or you can leave. Like, it ain't, you know, we ain't on that type of time where we trying to sabotage people or get them locked up. You know what I'm saying? No, we ain't. That's not, you know, in us like that for the most part. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's interesting when the caller talk about, you know, us owning land and all this stuff, because that is a trip if you think about it, because we're talking about the earth, right? Nobody really owns the land per se. It's everybody's land. But we've been brought up in a system to where they've divided the land and they sectioned it off and made it for sale. You know, they've actually made the planet for sale, which is a weird concept when you really think about it. Like the planet and the land is for sale.
Yeah,
the Native Americans
they didn't believe you could own the land.
They didn't believe you could own. It's like, no, it's everybody's land. It's not my land.
Yeah, territory, but you didn't own it. It was everybody's.
Right, right. It was everybody's, exactly. But the concept, you know, that the European bought is we're going to divide up the land, we're going to sell it, and then you're going to have to pay taxes on it. You know, this is a concept, again, from the European, the Roman. It extends from the monarchy when the kings and the queens was made the people pay taxes and do all this and that. So, you know, we in a deep system. We in it, so we don't really smell the BS, you know what I'm saying, because we in it. But it's a crazy concept in itself to actually own land, you know, in my opinion. But it is what it is. You can play the rules, or you can try to get outside the matrix and create your own rules, you know. The choice is yours, but, you know, that's the way it's set up. But I ain't want to cut you off, call it nobody, but you can go ahead if you had something else you wanted to put down.
Oh, well, like I said, I've been living in a small community. I went to hang out with my friend last night, and it was so weird. Hanging out inside the town with so much going on,
right.
I couldn't wait to get back out here to the stick.
Right.
Zombies was everywhere. But
yeah, they out here, man.
I seen like four meth couples last night toting everything they own.
Yeah.
So
it's no coincidence, though. Trip off this, though, and I don't think a lot of people really pay attention to this, but it's no coincidence that after, you know, the United States government went into Afghanistan, you started to have an opioid crisis. Like, people not connecting the dots. You go to Afghanistan, which is the largest country opioid producer in the world, right after that war, quote unquote, then the United States starts having an opium epidemic, a heroin epidemic, and all these things. And people don't seem to be connecting the dots that a lot of, you know, government, CIA, these are the biggest drug dealers on the planet. The army moves dope. You know, it's just a lot going on. But I say that in relation to what the caller just said about the zombies, that the dope is plentiful because Afghanistan is on lock. Even if the country and the major cities are in shambles, so to speak, the countryside is still producing heroin and still feeding the world this particular drug, you know, which is a powerful, deadly drug, by the way, but it's all coming from Afghanistan, and people not connecting the dots that this is a direct result of the war on terrorism, quote unquote. But now you got fentanyl, you got Katie, you got so many drugs on the street, and
they started off with a bad batch.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you don't know what's out here on these streets.
Started off with a bad batch.
It's all about
the design. It's just messed up.
Yeah, it's all by design, though. It's all by design because you keep the population geeked up. You keep them on something, and then you can do what you want to do. You know, you can control the people, basically, if you keep them high. You know, and that goes for alcohol, too. Alcohol, these hard drugs. You know, I don't put marijuana in those categories, but that's just me. But the hard drugs and the alcohol, all that stuff, that is to sedate the population, you know, so you can control them. You know, you can push things up on the people and make it law, and you're not going to get a lot of pushback. You know, so, yeah, it is what it is, Carl. Appreciate you.
All right, thanks,
yes, indeed.
Carl.
I'm hearing some background. Yes, indeed. So
so that's interesting, good, interesting calls, interesting, you know.
Yeah, you know,
hey,
what we, what,
I know you had,
you know, one minute.
Okay.
You know, when no one mentioned about the vaccine, people that take that already took the vaccine is still coming down with COVID.
Right.
I don't know if y'all saw that article. I sent y'all a little clip in the article in the final call about it. I don't know if y'all got a chance to read it.
Yeah, I did see it. I saw it.
I haven't read it yet. But what's up with that, y'all? What's up with that?
Well, you already know that they already have a, you know, they put the disclaimer out first. Oh, this is not 100%, so, you know, they saying it. You know, that's their disclaimer. So that's how they did their damage control. They did that up front by already putting it up front. That is not, you know, 100%. But why are you pushing it to the degree that they're pushing it? You know, that 1% is changing to a higher number, a higher percentage. So it's I don't know if it's even 90%. You know, because
that's very reckless. That's reckless on a government to put something on you. We can't guarantee you that this is gonna work, but you just take it anyway.
Exactly. What? No, that's very reckless, irresponsible, reckless. And, that's unacceptable, man.
I'm risking. I spoke with a young lady in the medical field. She works at a hospital. And she took the vaccine. She was honest. She said, I really took it because I felt peer pressure from my job. She said they pressured them into taking it. She's like, she hates she did it, but she did. She said she felt sick afterwards. She said she was really messed up.
And look, people will shame you for not taking it. You know, if you voice your opinion, like, no, I'm not with it. Like, people try to shame you. Society tries to shame you. You know, they got these celebrities telling people, encouraging people to take it. So it's like a big thing. So I could kind of understand where the young lady is coming from as far as feeling pressure. You know what I'm saying? Even though I'm not falling for it, but I could see, you know, there is a certain amount of societal pressure that they're putting on you to take the jab. You're supposed to go along with the program.
Yeah.
You know, and if you don't.
Even if you have
you're not getting the vaccine? Yeah, you're not getting the vaccine?
Like you're doing something to hurt the nation.
Yeah, you've been selfish. You're not thinking about other people. It's like, what? You want me to get a jab that's not even going to prevent me from getting what you're telling me I'm getting a jab for? Like, you got to make it make sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, make it make sense, fam. Like, that. I don't get it, so.
Yeah, they taking it, and there's so many people not wearing masks now, too. You guys notice that?
I know, right. I noticed that.
Oh, my
God. And,
so many people are not wearing masks.
Yeah.
So many.
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
People not wearing masks. They didn't lift the restrictions, so I already said I'm doing the opposite of what the masks do. So when I see people not wearing masks, I'm definitely wearing mine now. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, I'm just going to do the opposite.
You can either blend in or stand out. I want to stand out.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So I'm wearing my mask now. Yeah, I ain't mess with y'all. Because ain't no telling. We still got the fall coming. And, you know, the weather changing and the flu season back on. So the flu season is basically about to be COVID-19 season. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
If you get the flu, you basically got COVID.
They already said that the flu numbers was down so low this time around.
Right, which I don't believe. But okay, that's what they report. But I don't believe that because COVID-19 is the flu. Yeah, it's a bad flu, but it is the flu. So, yeah, I don't buy that. They just marking it down as COVID. You know what I'm saying? The flu has been COVID.
Yeah, but that's crazy how they just, they shaming people and encouraging them to go out and get this shot, put this foreign, un, unidentified stuff in their body.
Yeah.
You don't know what is going
right.
to happen to you anytime.
Nope.
And for what? You still doing the same thing others are not doing. You just put yourself at a higher risk as far as I'm concerned. But you do better just allowing yourself to catch it if you're going to catch it. And you'll have antibiotics at that point. But it's
right.
like you're going to put stuff in you. You might not even get the COVID. Even if you get it, you might probably going to survive. I don't understand. You still
keep
a mask. You still catch it. And you can still spread it. All that is like, I don't understand.
And
I
don't think the people do. I think the people got tricked. Yeah, the people got tricked into something. And when you put out something so fast, like, you don't even have time to see what are the long-term effects. You know, you have these medical trials and these vaccine trials. They last years to see, you know, what are some of the long-term effects. Nobody knows how their body's going to react a year from now, 2 years, 3 years. Like, you don't even know the effects. And then you're getting multiple shots. You know, when it comes to the Moderna thing, it's like, what are you doing? You got to make it make sense. You know?
Yeah.
You got to make it
make
sense.
Yeah.
And it does.
And it's like, it's crazy how people can think that they care so much. They mandate. No, I mean, it's not even FDA approved, but they still making you, you know, shoot into your body like they really care. Like, just you have to protect yourself.
Right.
You have to protect others. They don't care. I mean, why they don't? If that's the case, if they cared that much, then they can give out this to the cancer patients. Give them their chemo for free. If they really care so much, you know,
they giving out
free vaccine. Give them the cancer patients and then do the chemo. Do that for free. Make that cheap.
Exactly. See? Now you're hitting on something, see?
Yeah, they don't care. That's what I'm saying. They try to make it seem like they care so much.
Right.
Yeah, why if you care about humans that much, why chemotherapy so expensive?
Exactly.
But
why the cancer medicine ain't free.
It's free.
Right. And all that stuff, cancer, we know cancer kills way more people than COVID yearly. So come on, fam, make it make sense.
Yeah.
Make it make
sense,
fam. Yeah, that's a good point. See, they got a lot of explaining to do. That's why I'm not buying it. I was never caught up in the, in the hype. You know, I was aware. I was being cautious and whatnot. But I wasn't falling for the okey-doke. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking, I'm observing, and I'm kind of looking at the numbers they putting out. They saying that most people survive COVID. You know, you have a 99.9% chance of surviving if you don't have any pre-existing conditions or you relatively healthy. The body's going to fight it off. You know, and based on that, it's like, come on, so what's the hype for? You know, I can understand the elderly people and people with pre-existence. Yes, they need to be cautious, and we should be cautious around them. But for the most part, people, if you get it, you're going to survive. And that's all I care about. Can I survive this thing? Do I have good chances of beating it? Yeah, okay, then I'm cool. You know, I don't want to get it, of course, and all that type stuff. But I know if I do get it, I'm going to have to buckle down and really – you know, drink fluids, get vitamin C, whatever you got to do to make sure your body recovers, try to do that. And for the most part, you will be fine. You know what I'm saying? You will be good. So that kind of, you know, was my position with the whole thing. So why would I take the shot, going back to your point? Why would I take the shot and put some form in my body?
Right.
I know I won't be taking.
But we want to thank everybody for tuning in with us this Sunday. Tune in with us next Sunday and each and every Sunday. Like always, if you have any show topic ideas, please send us an email at collectiveminds@yahoo.com. Otherwise, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and follow us on Twitter. Peace.
Peace. I'll see you later.
been going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a peeper? Yeah, your boy done found that keeper. 2 weeks talking.
Collective mind.